Hello, patrons, and welcome to the After Dark podcast. As you can see, Ben's not here. He has the plops. And we don't have any more time before this. You get this for us to record it. So
yeah,
he doesn't get to be in it this week, and that's his fault.
Yeah, because I'm off tomorrow when he is hopefully back.
Yeah,
and then
he's off on Monday.
Then it's the weekend, and then it's Monday, and you need this by then.
Yeah,
so
you need it in your veins. So we just thought we'll just do it. Hey, we can do this.
We can do. Can we do this?
Who needs Ben Potter? Not us.
Not us.
We can do it ourselves.
I mean, this is a relatively chaotic podcast at times anyway. So
yeah.
I think we're the best placed
duo to
do this.
Literally, like, this is our job.
Yeah. So we've got a hat full of questions. You know how it works.
Yeah,
unless you're
works.
New, in which case, thanks for the money. Welcome. This is a question from Omar Zambon, who says, "Hi, Bap.
Hi.
What would you consider to be the best series on any streaming service at the moment?
Wow.
Cheers and keep up the excellent work. P.S. I caught the end of the Yogscast WWE 2K22 tournament." Well, that was a while ago. This question has been in there a long time.
Best show on a streaming platform. Are we going with ones that are like...
ones that were available at time of question, which...
But are we going with ones that are like, they've been on TV and are now on the streaming service? Or are we going with ones that are by the streaming service that have never been on TV before?
Like originals.
Because I would say that the best TV show is Criminal Minds.
Right.
That's on Disney+.
And is that available on...
It's on Disney+. But like, that isn't, I wouldn't say like a streaming TV show, because that is technically a TV show that's been on before.
Yeah, I guess... I mean, it's sort of open to interpretation. It could just mean anything that's available on any streaming service right now. So you could just say, you know, The Simpsons or whatever.
Yeah.
But maybe just like a relatively new show that's sort of come out in the past year or something.
I watched one this week that was like Instant Dream Home thing.
Right.
There was basically like they redo an entire house in like 12 hours. A bit like DIY SOS, but American. And... I was watching it and I got to like the fourth episode out of eight, and I was like, they've really got a niche of who that they're picking for these like instant home makeover things. Like, it was giving big, like, so they were all really super religious, and they were like, but it wasn't kind of obvious that they were like that until halfway through. They were like, everyone would be like, yeah, so we run a church, or oh, so we homeschool our kids and we also run a church, or our kids go to church camp. And I was like, hang on a minute. Is this just a Christian TV show that I've been watching this whole time? And I've not got anything wrong about like people being religious, but I was like, what's going on?
You thought it would be in the title.
Yeah.
Like Instant Homes Church Edition.
Yeah, but it was like random. I was like, oh, these are just some normal people. And I was like, this is our son Ezekiel. And I was like, okay, so not normal people. It's just...
If you call your son Ezekiel, you are not normal.
No. But I was like watching it and I just got halfway through and I was like, hang on a minute. Is this just a church show that I've been watching by accident? And they kept telling me about how people pour. There was like every one of them kept saying, when people you pour into people, and eventually people will pour into you. And I've never heard that phrase before.
It's a bit sexy, I think.
But yeah, it is a bit sexy. It was not the sex room show.
No.
But it's like, I was like, everyone kept saying, when you pour into each other, people will pour into you. Because people they made their house nice.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, cool.
Right.
What's happening? How have I got here? I still watched all eight episodes, but I was like...
And were all the others like churchy as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, all of them were.
Wow, okay.
Also, it was just insane. Like, they would just make these problems for themselves and then be like, there's simply no way of fixing it. And then they'd like... airlift a window in with a helicopter and like drop it into the house, and you're like,
right, within 12 hours they flip and charter their helicopter. Yeah. Like, it's definitely not taking place.
They plan it with like 3 months in advance. They're like, we tested this at the workshop, and they were like trying to crane a window in and it wasn't working.
Right.
Like, the angle of this house is too difficult. We can't just like winch it up. So they were like flew it in on a helicopter, and I was like, this is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on?
Amazing.
So yeah.
Wow.
That wasn't the best show I've watched.
No, yeah, that's not even answered the question.
I was just watching that last night.
Love that. I'm trying to think what the best show is at the moment on a streaming. I mean, a lot of people have been talking a lot about Better Call Saul, which I've never watched. I've never watched Breaking Bad.
I really like Ted Lasso, which Ben was really into a while ago. And I, MB got the Apple TV thing with PlayStation Plus. So we had that for a bit. And I was watching Ted Lasso with him over my birthday while I was doing my Legos. And it was really good. I really enjoyed it. And I also, they have another show called Loot with Maya Rudolph in it. And that's really good as well. If you like kind of American, like, sitcom-y. It's not really a sitcom. I don't really know what it's called. Like, just a comedy show. It's got like that weird cringe American humor in it in places that I just skip past.
Yeah.
Because it makes me cringe. But they're pretty good. I like Ted Lasso. It's really good, I think.
Okay.
I don't know if it's the best one out there ever, but
I've heard good things like about it, though. I don't know if this is like the best show, or it's not the best show available at the moment, but we've been recently watching, I always want to call it Web of Lies, but it's actually Web of like False Truths or something, or like Web of Untruths or something like that, Web of Deception. Don't know why they didn't call it Web of Lies, but it's a series and each episode is a different, covers a different story or a different theme. And
I was just looking in the thing, and on the like the screen, it looked like there was something on my cup / in my cup, but I can't see anything in it, so it's really freaking me out.
No, it's something on the screen.
I was like, "What the fuck?"
That's weird.
Sorry, carry on. Web of Untruths.
It's basically called Web of Lies, but it's not. It's on Netflix, and each episode is a different like topic or story, and it covers like, weird like dark stuff that's happened, like that's sort of centered around internet culture. So there was one episode on swatting.
It's okay, Peter, don't get so emotional.
Just getting a bit choked up. Well, I mean, I say that it was about so it started covering swatting at the beginning, where it's just, I say just, people having the police storm in and hold them at gunpoint. And then it's got all these like experts like doing talking heads and stuff.
Is it like a bit like a true crime documentary?
Sort of. And it's all these like talking head experts and stuff. And one of them saying like, and you know, we knew it was only a matter of time before someone got killed. And then like about a third of the way through the episode, it tells this story of like this guy who wasn't even the target of the swatting. It was like completely like some wires got crossed and this guy got shot and killed. And then like the rest of the episode is about like the story and the investigation and stuff. And then there's an episode on a woman who was like kind of like, what's the word? Where you like bring someone into an extremist thing. What's the word? Indoctrinated. Into like alt-right kind of neo-Nazism. And she's talking about the story that, you know, the life that she lived and how it tied into Facebook and the internet and Discord and stuff. So it's all these like really like pretty dark stories, but then like how the internet influenced them and where that comes into it. So
I watched a show that was about the it's not Mormon. It's like the fundamentalists where they're like all dressed like they're in like old times.
Oh, like Amish people.
Yeah, like Amish people. But they're like, there's one specific community of them that was really, really fucked up. And the guy was like marrying off like 12-year-olds to old men.
Oh my God.
And no one could do anything. No one could get any evidence of it. And then one of the girls escaped.
Oh,
she
yeah.
was like 16 and started telling the story. And every episode, I was like, well, this must be coming to an end soon.
Mm.
And then every episode I was like, what the fuck?
Just gets weirder and weirder.
It kept like getting worse and worse and like weirder and weirder. And I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this is the final episode. What more could happen? And then I was just sat there like, Jesus, oh my God, I need to go to bed. But that was, I mean, some of the true crime and like documentary stuff that they have on Netflix is like, insane.
We've watched some really good ones recently. They're not series, so I don't know if they answer the question, but we watched the one about those triplets who were separated at birth. I don't know if you've seen that. They were like went into an orphanage and they were all given to three separate parents. And two of them ended up meeting each other in college just by chance.
Wow.
Identical triplets. And they're like, what the hell?
Are these the boy ones or the girl ones?
Yeah, the boy ones.
A couple of girls that were either twins or triplets that they ended up meeting each other right. as well.
Yeah. So these two of these, they think they're twins. They meet yeah. each other and they think they're twins. And the story goes like all over American newspapers and stuff. I think it's like in the 80s. Mm. And they're on TV. And then this other guy or like his mum sees these two boys on the TV and she's like, that's like my son or like, it's like his brother or something. Someone says like, that's him, that's this guy. And he realizes he's a triplet and they're wow. all triplets. And then that like takes a kind of a dark turn as well. And like it goes places where you're like, oh my God, wow, that's like, yeah. There's so many good shows on yeah. Netflix. Like as
if
much
you
as
you love a true crime slash a yeah. documentary piece, there's loads of stuff.
That's the thing. Like, say what you like about Netflix. Like it, they make some terrible decisions where they like cancel really promising shows and like their pricing structure is a bit messed up, but they're still very good at doing documentaries.
Documentaries and stuff. Yeah. Oh, that cat one, the Don't Mess With Cats. Did you watch that?
No.
There's a guy who put up this video of him. He kept making videos of him murdering cats.
Oh, yeah. No, I saw that on, that was broadcast on TV.
Oh, was it?
Oh, no, actually, I don't know if he put videos up.
Yeah, he put videos up of him killing cats. Thing. And then eventually, like, so he was being hunted down by this, like, this group of people on Facebook who were trying to find out who he was so they could stop him from murdering all these cats. And then he kills an actual person and they, like, link it all up and interviews with people who were, like, been searching for him from like every point of like when they found the videos of him killing these cats.
Was it in the UK?
No, it was in America.
Oh, right.
But the guy like traveled, so he was on the run, like because he didn't get caught for the murder and then he was in like Germany or something and he got caught like in Germany and it's like a whole thing. It was really good, but it was like horrible, like what he was doing to these animals.
And well, because that's what I thought was something else. When I was on my honeymoon, one evening, Amy had gone to bed because she wasn't feeling that well. And so I sat and watched TV. And just on TV, like terrestrial TV, there was a show called How to Catch a Cat Killer. And that was in the UK.
Oh.
And it was this guy who'd been murdering all these cats and no one knew who it was. And then he eventually gets caught on CCTV, like stabbing a cat in the street, which is horrible. And so the documentary was mostly about him and how they caught him. But then right at the end, they said, like, the implications of this, it's, like, really important that you catch these people, not only obviously for, obviously for the benefit of the animals, but because
they can go to serial killer, like, yeah. it's a serial killer behavior.
And they showed this other guy. It was only, like, a five-minute part of this documentary where they were like, here's why it's especially important in terms of human life. And they, like, arrested this guy for murder who'd started by killing, like, 100 cats or something in I think in the UK, so it must be a different guy to the one you saw.
It's called Don't Fuck With Cats is the
right
name
okay
of it. And it's I mean it's a good documentary, but again it's one of the things where you're like what the every time it's something I was like what the fuck, like
wow.
It's crazy. Anyway, those are some shows and movies
those
that
are shows
just
go
about.
Watch those.
Addy has a question. What's Ashton's thoughts on white supremacy?
Oh wow, okay,
can you give me some context for this?
I can. I almost feel like Ben Potter should be here for this, but he's
I
probably
can put
a
it
bit.
Back in.
I mean, Ben Potter is probably a bit white supremacy'd out, to be honest.
Right.
Not
is
least
it just
because
which way around you wipe your bum?
It's not just which
front
way
to back or back to front.
There's like various aspects to it. I mean, yes, the basis is do you wipe front or forwards or backwards? So do you reach around behind you or do you reach through your own legs?
Right.
That's one part to it. And that's the main part. But there's all these other things that you can spin off with, like how many sheets do you use? Do you fold or do you scrumple? Scrunch?
I use way too many sheets of toilet roll.
Right.
And I wrap.
Oh, do you wrap?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Just
so
in case.
Originally, this is something that Ben and some of his friends talked about on a podcast that they used to do.
Yeah.
And they called it white supremacy. Because Ben is what I would call in the minority. I think it's a fact. I'm not even going to dispute
does
whether it's
scrumple?
Right or wrong. Well, no, in terms of writing, wiping forwards or backwards.
Does he wipe back to front?
Yeah, Ben reaches through his legs.
I reach through my legs.
Oh, do you?
Well, it depends what I've done. It depends what the situation
well,
is.
Yeah, no, it's talking about plops specifically.
Oh, yeah, because obviously I've got other parts.
Yeah, so you would
I probably wipe, yeah, from the back, I think, if I've done a poo.
Yeah.
But also depends if I'm on my period, because that's a whole other ball game.
Right, okay.
So that's where the gender gap has to be crossed.
See, I don't know if Ben has ever wipe supremacy chatted with a woman. So it was all the boys on his podcast, they talked about it. He was, I think, in the minority in that he reaches through his legs and wipes essentially back to front. Dodge the balls.
The balls and the penis.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I agree. That's not, in my opinion, that is the incorrect way to wipe. And most women who, we've not talked about this with women on podcasts before, but when we've like mentioned it in like friendship groups and stuff, women have said, or we've had people write in, like audience people write in and say, almost all women will wipe front to back because you don't want to
get a UTI.
Exactly. So certainly in that sense, when you're a woman, there's clearly a sort of correct way to do it.
Yeah.
When you're a man, it's less of an issue UTI-wise. But, you know, people say to Ben or people in Ben's camp, why are you like wiping shit towards your balls?
Yeah.
And his answer is, I would just stop. Like, I don't continue wiping towards my balls. I mean,
but then the gooch must have like remnants on your gooch.
Well, you'd think so. I don't know. Maybe it depends on how well the actual shitting process went.
See, the thing is, like, I am inclined to go like down the front after I've gone to the toilet, but also like there is hazards.
Yeah.
But also like this movement always feels wrong to me.
Okay.
But obviously I have to do it. But when I just, my natural instinct is just to go the quickest route.
Yeah, but then I guess because you spend 50% of the time doing that, or maybe more than that.
That's true. I do it more often than you do it. So
maybe you're more used to that. But yeah. Generally, I think statistically, when we've done polls, and we have done polls on this,
we've tested it with a focus group.
People tend to wipe forwards to backwards, but I guess you could reach in either direction and still wipe in like whichever direction you like. But the other thing I've remembered actually is that someone we used to know at What Culture suddenly brought up like a whole other. So like I say, there's a whole list of things you can talk about, like whether you fold or how much you use. And then it came up, this thing that had never occurred to me, but a lot of people, and this might include you, sort of stand to wipe. So they'll come like
hover.
They'll hover for the wiping process, even if they've been. So you might, I think anyone would hover if they're in like maybe a nasty public toilet. You don't want to sit down on that.
I sit down.
But if you were like in the comfort of your own home, you're sitting down and doing your business. Then when it comes to wiping, apparently some guys, and I imagine women too, will then sort of stand and like bend a little bit. And that's how they'll wipe.
I don't do that.
No. I sit. I even sometimes sit down to pee. If I just want to take the weight off my feet, I'll just sit down.
My boyfriend does that. He'll treat himself to a sit-down wee sometimes.
Yeah, now and then.
If it's in the morning, he'll just have a sit-down wee.
Yeah, exactly.
Why not? Treat yourself.
So you're, what camp are you in then? Which direction would you wipe
having plopped, I would wipe like this.
Front to back,
Front to back.
And are you not sure which way you'd reach? Would you be tempted to reach?
I don't know. I can't think about it now. I think I must reach in the back because that's the only way I would do it.
It would be difficult to wipe front to back.
I think if I've done a wee though, I think I might do while you're back there. At the front. I'm not sure. Like, I can't really tell. I don't know. I'm going to go to the toilet after this. I'm going to be thinking about it the whole time. Like,
make some notes and let us know.
I'm going to have it folded around my hand. And I'm going to be like, which way?
Folded around the hand that doesn't always occur to me that that's also a sort of a third option. But so I'm a folder of paper, but I don't wrap it around my hand. Some people will take the paper though and just scrunch it.
Yeah, why would you? Because it's a nice soft,
I don't know.
Scrunch on your gonads. That's not what you want to do.
I don't think so.
Weird behavior.
So we've got your thoughts there. We've
though
been
if I'm
recording
on my period, I have to like, there's like a wipe, like a swift movement of wipe stands pants up at the same time.
Right.
Because there's more that could go wrong.
Right, okay,
you know,
sure.
Especially out in public, it's a risky maneuver.
That's true. I know what you mean. Not from personal experience, but from people I know.
Yes.
So we're 20 minutes in, we've done two questions.
Okay.
Janet Wicks says, hiya, Bab. I've learned a lot about British culture from your videos and realised that I pretty much knew nothing beyond keeping up appearances and are you being served? What kind of crazy stereotypes did you, or still, believe about the US?
There's so many, but they're, like, true.
I can't believe that Janet Wicks's views of the British came from keeping up appearances and are you being served. I've never seen Are You Being Served, but I'm aware of keeping up appearances. That's wild to me.
Mm. So, I mean, the issue with American stereotypes is that they come from a place where everyone else can see it, but Americans, like, can't.
Right.
Like, I have this really... It's not every American, but the general idea is that Americans, like, don't know anything that's going on outside of America.
Yeah, that's like, a stereotype,
you're,
for sure.
You don't... Like, I've seen a lot of things being, like, Europeans, like, what Americans have you encountered that don't, like, understand your culture? And I saw one that were, like... they're from New Zealand, and they were celebrating Independence Day, like, from the British, or, no, it was, like, a Maori Independence Day.
Oh, right.
And they were like, oh, it's in a few months. And they were like, oh, but it's July 4th next week. And they were like, what? And they were like, yeah, it's Independence Day's next week. Why don't you just celebrate it the same day that we celebrate it? Like, of, you know, the end of the war. And then they were like, because we don't give a fuck about that.
Yeah.
Like, we...
That's not relevant.
That's not relevant to us. It's a different Independence Day. And the same way that they don't understand why we don't recognise July 4th, because it was just, like, well, it happened, and, like, we don't care.
Yeah.
Like, it's no biggie to us. There's just lots of things that I see about Americans where they just don't know anything that's going on outside of, like, America, that they're not very good at geography.
Mm-hmm.
Is, like, notoriously something that I think, that they're not very good at geography. They couldn't name where countries are.
Yeah, that's certainly, again, these are stereotypes, and I'm sure for a lot of people this is not true.
Yeah.
My geography is really bad as well, but...
But I know, like, where the continents are.
Yes.
And I could, like, name countries in a continent.
But the stereotype is that Americans can't, like, point to things on a map. Sometimes they can't even point out America on a map.
Yeah.
Occasionally.
They think they're the biggest country in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To point to Russia, maybe.
Yeah. That's the thing, is that, like, a lot of Americans, like, you think that they only give a shit about their country.
Mm.
Like, everything else is, like... The weird thing about America is how, like, patriotic everyone is.
Yeah.
Like, if you have to sing the national anthem here, very rarely, maybe at a football game, everyone, like, kind of doesn't really give a shit about singing it. We'll just sing it because, like, you know, it's a start of a football game or whatever.
But you certainly wouldn't necessarily feel compelled to stand up.
No.
Some people might stand up, but, yeah, like, you wouldn't feel like, I better stand the fuck up now. Like,
I got to get up. And, like, we don't really, like, we'd maybe learn it in school, but, like, it's not something, like, when we're just doing a lesson, but it's not something we sing at school.
There's a second verse that no one knows.
No, we don't, like... We don't have that whole thing of being, like, raising the flag and,
no,
like, saluting the flag and, like, thinking we're the best country in the world. Like,
Pledge
we have
of Allegiance.
This, a Pledge of Allegiance. We have this awareness that we are, in fact, not the best country in the world,
yeah,
and have a lot of, like, stuff to work on. Americans, like, stereotypically, think they're the best country in the world,
mm-hmm,
and that nothing is wrong and everything is, like, sunshine and rainbows and they're the best country.
And that everyone wants to be American.
Yeah.
They think
everyone
that
wants
everyone
to be
wants
American.
To be American. Yeah.
But the thing is, we don't want to get shot. So we don't.
Yeah. See, this, the kind of counter stereotype to that is, if you say to someone, if you say to some Americans, oh, well, you know, what's it like living in a country where you can get shot anytime,
mm,
but, like, in school or whatever, they will say, what, like, you all get knived in,
yeah,
Britain. And we have a knife crime problem. But at least you can't,
like,
get a semi-automatic
50 people
knife.
With a knife in,
yeah,
one go. Like, that's the thing. People, like, Americans would make a comment and, like, try and be like, oh, America's best country in the world. And you'd be like, well, why has there been a school shooting every day this year?
Hmm.
And then they'll be like, well, you've got knife crime. And we're like, okay. So maybe three people get killed by a knife every week.
Hmm.
That's not 20 people in a day that are, like, under the age of 18.
Yeah.
So the whole gun thing is just baffling as well. Like, you get, like, the Trumpy Americans that you see that they're like, I couldn't do nothing without my gun. My guns are like family. And you're like, Jesus Christ. Like,
yeah,
the fact that guns have more rights than women in America is really fucking something. But it's just one of those things where you see that, like, they're like, I'm gonna eat my hamburger and drink my Mountain Dew and go down to Wendy's and get myself a I don't know, a fucking huge burger and eat it for like 20 minutes and then fuck off down the
It is your Fifth Amendment right to eat a hamburger, I think.
Shoot my guns with my friends and drink a beer. Sing the Pledge of Allegiance.
That's the stereotype. That's it.
Yeah, and you got a trucker hat on with the American flag on it. And you're wearing like cargo shorts and like aviator sunglasses. You got a big beard and a big belly.
Yeah.
And you think your wife is...
Yeah, don't sugarcoat it, Ashton.
No, like a big beer belly. Like,
yeah,
not,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's what I... Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And then like your wife's like... She doesn't have any... You hate your wife.
Yeah.
You hate your wife and like your kids have like four teeth and like have don't... They don't know anything about... They don't speak...
Careful bringing up teeth.
Better English.
Because that's the stereotype about Britain, isn't it? That we've got terrible teeth.
That's
the
true.
Other thing, the American tourist stereotype as well is that...
Loud.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Just loud and kind of sort of speaking to everyone and asking questions that...
And not having any clue about any of the culture of the other places you are. And like tip culture is so different here. And like the service industry and everything, like it's just baffling. Like people in America, the idea is that like if you're working as a waitress, you're there to do everything that someone wants and you have to serve them really well. And
then
you get a good tip. Whereas here it's like you come to the restaurant, you're one of many patrons and you just... get served
and you
like everyone
theoretically
else.
Get at least a sort of living wage if not better, so you don't need the tips to survive. Whereas my belief, again, it could be a stereotype, it could be sort of true, but like if there were no tips in restaurants in America, the staff would not be able to live or pay their bills is my sort of understanding. So there's all kinds of stereotypes there. I'm sure you could very much hit back with lots of British ones, but those are things that some of them probably aren't true, but
but they have to come from somewhere. So there's definitely, I think it's because like TV shows show like that kid, the chicken nugget kid. I'm not coming back. You're never going to see this face ever again.
Oh yeah. Bacon is good for me.
I can't live without my chicken nuggets. This comes from Ma Lee. I always said this wrong. Ma Lee.
Don't look at me.
Don't know. Sorry. Let us know how to pronounce your name in the next After Dark post. Hey, Abap, in your opinion, what's the best gift you've ever given someone? Did the person you gave it to like it? Me and my best friend at college and my other best friend at college, both of whom I don't really speak to anymore, I spent like an entire weekend putting together like a scrapbook of like our like memories together, and we wrote like notes and stuff, and it was like really like thoughtful and like put loads of effort into it, me and my friend Julia, and we gave it to the girl whose birthday it was, and she was like, oh thanks, this is nice, and like didn't look through it. Then like she looked through it later on and she was like, yeah, it was really nice, but like I was like, cool, I put loads of effort into that, no biggie.
Oh no.
But then later on they got me a nice gift too, but it was like another like thoughtful gift. I think we were on the thoughtful train of like we're 17 now, we have emotions and feelings and we understand the other people now, so we spent ages making this scrapbook. I think she just didn't know how to react, but like that's probably the like most thoughtful gift I've ever given. I don't know about the best
gifts. Like that tend to be, If they land well, they can be the very best gifts you give. Like, you don't have to spend that much money on someone necessarily.
I'm a big softie. So, like, if someone gives me something that's thoughtful, I will cry.
Yeah.
It's not my fault. I just will. I'm like, oh my God, you like me. You actually like me.
Well, that's what I did on the morning of my wedding. I had a gift that I'd given to Amy for her and the bridesmaids to open in the morning.
Cute.
And when I got to the church... obviously Amy and they were still like getting ready. I arrived like half an hour earlier, and the photographer and the videographer turned up and they'd been spending the morning with Amy. And the first thing that they both said to me when they came up to me was, that gift like made everyone cry. We were all crying. And apparently the videographer said like she was thinking of, she said, can I give Peter my boyfriend's email address so that he can just get in touch and tell him how to give gifts. So I was like,
what was it?
Mission successful. So when me and Amy first became friends, so we met through mutual friends. We were in a big friendship group. And so we weren't like an item or anything, but I really liked her, not just as a friend. Like, I was hoping maybe one day we're like, we might be together. I had a crush on her. But also, we were very, like, close mates very quickly. And at the time, well, I don't want to go into, like, too many details, but, like, as to the reason for why I did it. But, like, for a reason that was apparent within the friendship group, there was this, like, in-joke about eggs, but, like, fried eggs, right. And, like, people used to call each other egg and stuff as, like, a kind of term of endearment. So, anyway, everyone was, like, egg, little egg. And so me and Amy, our birthdays are quite close together.
Mm.
And I had already, like, had this whole birthday party at my halls that I was doing, where everyone was going to dress as 90s characters. It was, like, a fancy dress thing. And then I said to Amy, are you doing anything for your birthday? And she's like, just like maybe see some friends or something. So I was like, just join my birthday. Yeah. We'll have like a joint birthday. So I then thought, oh, I should get her a present. And I was like, what do I do? So what I did was I got an egg box, like a half dozen egg box, and I bought 6 Kinder eggs. And then I cut them open with like a pen, like a Stanley knife.
This was for your birthday way back when?
Way back, yeah. So this was for her birthday. But there's this is like backstory to the wedding present. So I cut these Kinder eggs open, opened the toy things. You can't get those in America.
But you can get a gun. Hazard.
And took the toys out. And then I put like different stuff inside and then sealed them up. So she had this like egg box of like presents from me. So there was like, one was like a little kind of coupon book for like, you know, free hug or like, you know, let's like go
like a day out.
Go to the cinema and you choose the film and stuff like that, like all those kind of things.
And you weren't dating at this
point? No, we weren't, no, but we were very close. And then there was like just a little like trinkety thing that like, it was like, it wasn't a key ring, but it was like a little thing like that. And then there were all these different things. I can't even remember exactly what they were. So anyway, that was the first gift I ever gave her when we were still like becoming friends. And so for the wedding, I got like a bigger version. So I got like this big hamper and I found these like big like papier-mâché eggs on Amazon.
Yeah.
So I bought 6 of those and I did basically the same present, but just like kind of bigger and like on a like a bigger
budget.
That's
so cute.
So she opened that and there was like a card in there that said like, the first gift I ever gave you when we became friends was this egg box. And now I want it to be like the last gift I give you before you become my wife is like an egg box and stuff. So, and then like one of the eggs was for her little sister who was sort of like becoming my sister. And one of them was for all the other bridesmaids. So then there were like 4 for Amy and they all had cards and stuff. So apparently when they opened that, everyone cried. So I was like, mission accomplished.
That's so cute.
So that's apparent. That seemingly had the best effect, like in terms of the best gift I've given. So there you go. That's a free one. If maybe you're listening and your partner doesn't listen to this, just use that.
Yeah, just do the egg thing. It won't have really any sentimental like value in terms of the eggs situation.
But it won't necessarily. It
would still do the job.
It doesn't need to necessarily relate to eggs. You can just say, here, I've got you like an egg box. They were like, why have you got me an egg box? And then when they find that there's 6 presents inside, they'll be like, oh, that's sweet.
Cute.
So that went well. It was a real long story time. Oh, it's from Janet Wicks. Maybe I should put this back and give someone else a chance. But thank you, Janet. In fact, I saw the word Americans on there. I don't know if it was a similar question. Anyway, this is from Carrie Buchter, who says, hello, Bap.
Hiya.
Did any of you have an interesting childhood nickname?
I've never had a nickname. I don't think my name constitutes very well to being a nickname. It kind of doesn't have, like, Ash is the only thing, and that's kind of boring. But I don't think I ever had a nickname as a kid.
I don't have any, like, super interesting ones. Like, one guy used to call me Pedro instead of Peter. One time when I was in year 7 and, you know, I was like at a new school and, you know, trying to get to know people, a few weeks in history, we did a lesson on Tolland Man, which is one of those bodies that was found in like a bog in England where they've been preserved. So they're like thousands of years old, but because it's You'll see where this is going. Because it's in a peat bog.
Right.
It preserves the body. Have I jumped ahead?
No,
I've got
no,
three
no.
here. Oh, no,
yeah,
I haven't. I've got two.
I've just... No, no,
I thought I had three and then the one I've just asked.
Oh, no.
Four, but no. So there's all these bog bodies around Britain where they like they went in there in like 1000 BC or whatever. And when you pull them out, because it's like peat, P-E-A-T, it completely like mummifies the body. And so we were learning all about that. And they said, oh, yeah, it was found in a peat bog. And so for a while, not in a kind of, it was meant to be in an endearing way, but people called me like peat bog for a while.
Sup, peat bog?
Sup, peat bog. And then that gradually people stopped calling me that.
Yeah.
And in hindsight, I'm glad because it's not actually that nice of a name. But they weren't taking the piss, I don't think, at the time. It was just, oh, sounds a bit like peat, you know, like your name.
Like your name.
So.
Mr. Bog.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't have one. I'm not that interesting.
No, I didn't really. Apart from that brief time.
Peat bog.
And one guy calling me Pedro. I didn't. People didn't really call me anything particularly interesting.
Fair. However, last question here from Stephen Norrie. None of you are native to Newcastle. As an outsider, what is your opinion of the northeast of England when compared to other parts of the country? Slight bias from me, as I'm a Teesider.
What do you think? You're the freshest person here.
I am the freshest. I think Newcastle's nice. I've not really explored very far, to be fair. I think because if my boyfriend was here, maybe I'd go to other places.
Mm.
I've really only been to Newcastle city centre, briefly into Gateshead to go to like Ben's house, and then I've been to Whitley Bay like twice.
Right.
And yeah, it's nice. It's but I think it's kind of the same as every other city. Like, I think most cities in the UK are pretty similar. They've got various different things. Like, Leicester doesn't have a metro. I like the metro.
Yeah, metro's good.
Big fan of the metro. Like, Leicester doesn't have a metro, but it's also not as, like, spread out in terms of, like, condensed city as Newcastle is. And, like, I live in a tiny village as a kid, so being in a city is, like, miles different from when I was a child. But also, I live near Cambridge, which is like a terrible representation of an English city, because it's like the only city in the country apart from maybe like Oxford that looks the way that it looks. But yeah, I mean, I like Newcastle and I like the northeast. I still don't always understand what people are saying, specifically some of the guys in the office, specifically Aidan, the writer for Cultaholic. I don't have a single fucking clue what he says most of the time. I literally, he speaks and I'm like,
you definitely like pick it up though, the longer you're here. Like, so I came here as a student thinking I would just be here for 1 year because I just came for a master's course. So it wasn't even like I'm going to be here 3 years. It was like I'll be here for 12 months or less. And I didn't think I would like, I thought I'd come up here, do my course, and then I'd probably just want to leave and go back to Yorkshire. And like, that's still probably the ultimate goal, like long, long term. I mean, but I want to stay here for the foreseeable.
Yeah.
Because I came up here, I met Amy, who was also here just studying. She's not from around here. And then we just ended up like really liking it. And I think it helped that the first year or so that we were here, we were students and we had a really good time with the circle of friends we were in. And, you know, you do go out and like get to know the city a bit better.
Yeah.
And then I ended up finding work here that I, you know, like don't want to leave behind, no matter how much I'm like called back necessarily to like, I want to say the north. Oh, it's obviously south of here, but you know, I still call it like, you know, the north of England.
It's still the north.
It's still the north. It is the north, but you know, when you're further north, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But so I've always been a home bird, but like, there's clearly something about Newcastle that is kind of keeping me here, and it's partly the job and partly the people. And I think partly the place as well. Like, I like that you can get up to Northumberland quite easily, which is really nice. If you, like, just drive, like, even half an hour north of Newcastle, it starts to get really pretty when you get out in the sticks. And, you know, there's, like, nice coastline and stuff. And so, yeah, and the city, I think, is good. I think, like, it's got everything you need. The metro's good. People are generally quite nice. I'm also, like, I understand what people are saying now. I think I'm told like the Geordie accent, a lot of people really like it.
I can see why.
And that it's They say, don't they, that like the people quite like having Geordies on their call centres because it's meant to sound quite friendly.
Yeah, I think it does sound quite friendly.
The sort of Sarah Millican kind of voice. But for me, I still find it like, I don't know, like, although I understand it, I still find it quite, like, difficult to listen to. Not in a grating way, but like just to kind of, I think it's like, imagine it, like if you're fluent in a foreign language, you understand what everyone's saying, but it's not like you're hearing English. Yeah. Well, in dialect, yeah. But like, it's not like you're hearing English. You're still having to like translate in your head sort of thing. And you might get every single word right when someone's speaking to you in like German and you're a fluent German speaker. But like,
it takes a bit more brain power than just
just like listening to words that just click with your brain.
Yeah.
And I think there's probably still an element of that. Like I understand everything, but I still like have to pay attention, I guess, is what, you know, is the issue. But
it's funny you say you're a homebird, because I'm really not. Like, I knew really, when I was younger, I was like, I don't want to live here forever. Like, it was a nice village, but there's just nothing there. And I'm just such a person who's like, I want there to be something that I could do. Like, I always wanted to move to London, because obviously everyone does at one point in their life. Like, move to London, because there's so much going on.
Yeah.
Like, there's never, like, a limit of things you're doing. But obviously, you can't just move to London. You have to have a plan and lots of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved to Leicester for uni, and I really liked the city, and obviously, like, everyone who I knew was there. And then, like, my plan was never to stay in Leicester, but my boyfriend's from Leicester. We lived in the town, like, next to his parents' town, because there was a house there. And we were like, cool, this is great. But I was like, I don't want to live here forever.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't live in this house. I don't want to live in Leicester forever. I want to see more of the UK and see what's going on. And obviously came to Newcastle, and now I was like, I don't know if I want to live in Newcastle forever, but then I don't know if I'll ever be in a city where I've been like, I will be here forever.
Yeah.
But we were saying, like, we'll move up here, and he might leave his job and come up here. So I'm like, point where I'm like, yeah, I'd be happy to stay here. Like, I've got nothing about it. I'm like, I don't want to be here forever. Like, I don't like the city. It's not like that at all. Like, I would be happy to stay here for a while, for the next like few years, obviously because of the job and everything. So yeah, I like the north.
Mm-hmm.
There's loads of Greggses.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like funny that they say, like, oh, you know, Newcastle, they love the Greggses, but you literally, like,
there are just loads
the street next to the one that I live on, I can stand outside one Greggs and see the other Greggs, like, from the outside of the other one. And I'm like, that's, I would say, too many Greggs. Because, like, you know, you don't need that many. And then there's not even just Greggs. There's, like, other, like, pastry shops as well. Like,
yeah.
There's, like, one called, like, Dickinson's as well, that's, like, dotted around. There's, like, a Greggs on one corner and then Dickinson's on the other corner. Like, massive pastry shops that are, like, across from each other. And then, like, there's a couple, like, from the Greggs, you can see the Dickinsons, and then you can see the other Greggs.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, they're, like, so close to get, like, together that, like, you don't, there's too many, I would say, because surely, like, you can't.
I think there's just that much demand.
There must be.
One Greggs is not, we're constantly selling out of sausage rolls. We need another one on this street. Yeah. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to manage it.
Yeah.
I grew up in a village, particularly, like, so we moved house when I was 8, and we went from, like, one part of, like, the what was formerly, like, West Yorkshire and wasn't even technically Yorkshire anymore. It was, like, Greater Manchester. Then we moved to North Yorkshire. And when we moved then to, like, the second village when I was 8, that was, like, really sleepy village. And it was kind of in the middle of nowhere. And it wasn't even interesting, like, geography. Like, we moved from the foothills of the Pennines, so it was like, at least it was like hilly and like there was interesting landscape and stuff. But then we moved to this other place and it was like really flat. It was just outside York, super flat, and like it was just arable farming, so it was just crop fields. Like, it's not even like there's sheep around or anything. Like, at least that adds a bit of interest, just these like flat fields everywhere. And I definitely, like, I wanted to get out of that village, I guess, in the same way that you wanted to get out of where you grew up. But I think when I say I'm a homebird, it's more like being
close to family.
Being close to family and like being close to places that like mean something to me, but like not necessarily wanting to live in like a quiet village, because like it can get kind of tedious at times.
I just don't want to end up pregnant. And I thought, if I don't leave this village, I'm going to end up pregnant by the age of 20.
Right. Does that happen a lot in the village?
It does.
Okay.
Everyone who like hasn't left by the end of college is either pregnant or will be pregnant in the next, like, before they're 20.
And then once you've got a child, like, you're probably not going to move. Yeah, unless, like, you move in the first few years.
Like, there's, like, so many people I'm like, they're the year above me or my year, and they are already on their, like, second baby now. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I was 13, and I was like, I'm acutely aware that if I don't leave by the age of, like, 18, I will end up pregnant.
Oh, my gosh.
Because there's just nothing else to do apart from, like, shag or, like, do drugs. They're literally, like, the two things. Do crime or do sex. Those are the two things you do because there's nothing fucking else to do. We're not close to any cities. It was, like, the closest city was, like, a 45-minute drive.
Yeah.
There was no buses. One bus in the morning, one bus in the afternoon.
Yeah, we had that.
And, like, that would go to the nearest smaller village that you could get on a second bus that would take an hour to get to Cambridge or an hour to get to Peterborough.
Brilliant.
And I was like, I'm not fucking staying it.
No.
I need some, like, stimulation, and this village has none.
Well, it's got a certain kind, yeah, but that's not the kind you
not
want
the
to
kind
stay
I
with.
Want. So yeah, I had to get out of there. get out.
Fair point.
Or I'll be a mother.
And you don't want to be a mother.
No.
Cool. Well, there you go. You got your obligatory sex talk. It took till... In fact, we probably mentioned it earlier on as well, sex, but...
We did, yeah, I think, potentially, in passing.
It's a sexy podcast.
It's a sexy podcast.
So stick with us on Patreon if you want to hear even more from us. Ben will be here next time. If we remember, we should just quickly bring up white supremacy with him and say we had the conversation without you because he... In a way, I think he might be gutted to have missed out. But then on the other hand, as I say, I think he's probably a bit...
He'll probably just do a sigh.
He's probably sick of the conversation going the same way it always goes, which is, Ben,
why do you wipe poo towards your balls?
Yeah. Yeah, why? Do you have poo on your balls right now? Is what I want to know. Okay, cool. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks so much for listening and watching.
Yeah.
And being supportive of us. And we love you. So see you later.
Deal with it.
All right.
Bye.